You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
And so it happens on the most sort of recent time it happened, which was a few months ago. I called my mum and I was like, Mum, I can't do this anymore. I can't live with this unhappiness and this relying on acting, for my work and for to make me feel good. And I was like, it's too stressful. And so she's like, I think, Anna Marie, it's time to let it go for a while. And not necessarily give up, but just to let go of the hold it had on me. And it really kind of stuck with me what she said. And I was like, yeah, actually, I think I really deserve some stability for a while.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, this is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in the industry and I make them share a couple audition stories with me. If you're not subscribed to the show, make sure to hit that subscribe button now. You can also check out our Patreon and see all of these interviews on video. If that's your thing, you can do that. Those links are in the show notes as well as all of our social media. And if you wish, please leave some love in the form of ratings and reviews. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, moving on, I have a really fun project. I can't talk about it quite yet. Next week, I'll be able to tell you about it. But if you're impatient, follow me on Instagram. I'll be posting about it as soon as I possibly can. What else is going on? I think that's kind of it recap-wise. We're still in this WGA strike. Go writers. We support you. We love you. And I'll be back out on the picket lines next week as well. Today on the show, we have Anna Marie Thomas. You may remember her from The Sounds, Friend of the Friendless. She's in the brand new Evil Dead Rise. We talk all about working in New Zealand, our love for Titanic, and so much more. So here's my conversation with Anna Marie. And welcome to the show, Anna Marie.
Hi.
I'm so happy to have you here. What time is it over there in New Zealand right now?
It is 1 p.m. in the afternoon. On this very rainy, miserable day in Auckland, New Zealand.
Really? You guys got some rain happening?
Terrible weather. We've been cheated of a summer and we've had rain all year. So New Zealand is definitely a bit miserable to be in at the moment. But wish I was in sunny California, that's for sure.
Hey, it rained last night. I think it's going to rain again tonight. So maybe it's just the whole planet is against us right now.
The whole planet's doomed, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. The whole planet is doomed. We're all doomed. Whatever. It's fine.
We won't go there yet. We won't go there.
Oh, man. Well, I'm so happy to have you on today. The first thing I love to ask all of my guests is, what made you want to become an actor?
Oh, that is such a good question. It's such a juicy question. I always wanted to be an actor. It's one of those things where it's feels like it's in my bones. I've never known the time of not wanting to be an actor. And like one of the first films that I remember having a really big impact on me was Titanic. And I saw that film and I was like, I want to be on that set. Like, you know how there's those weird Titanic people that are obsessed with it?
Like, I want to.
Are you? Oh my goodness.
I gotta tell you, I have a light switch cover of Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic that my parents got me like in the 90s, and I still have it. It's still in my office.
My room has all of this random Titanic like little souvenirs from the film and like all of this weird stuff. It's actually like it's a weird obsession, right? Like, were we on the Titanic? That's my theory, is that we were maybe like linked to it in real life. That's my theory, because we're not alone. There's some real crazies out there that are just obsessed with it. I've probably been part of it.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. I went down to Mexico where they shot some of Titanic. They have a studio down there, and they give you a ticket at the like start of the tour, and then they tell you if you survived at the end of it. And we were like, oh my god, this is upsetting.
Did you survive?
No.
Oh man,
I didn't. I definitely died in the ocean.
Oh, that's rough. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. It's okay. Oh my god.
Yes. So Titanic was like a huge fascination of mine, and I remember watching the movie and being obsessed, and more specifically wanting to be on the set of that movie and see how it was made and wear the costumes and touch the props and see how they got this shot. And so it was always a specific love for film, and specifically like being part of the behind the scenes of making movies. But I could never see myself doing any other job but acting. And I think it was the character work that really drew me into it. And as much as I try to convince myself growing up that I didn't want to be an actor, because you know, I had heard the horror stories of how unstable it is and how hard it is. And I was like, I really want to be an accountant. I really want to be a stable, normal, functioning person in a society. And I couldn't shake it. And I was like, okay, I feel like this is a calling for a reason. And I just got to be really, really brave. And I've got to do it. And that's a decision I made.
I mean, it's true. It's like, I think that, you know, everyone I talk to on the show, it's like, they knew as a kid. It's like you somehow come out of the womb and you know you want to be an entertainer. You like know it in your bones. And I don't know what it is.
We've got such, I think, I don't know, it depends how deep you want to go, but I really believe artists have such a higher purpose in this world and to serve something bigger than themselves. And like, I do think it's a calling in a way where, you know, even though it's not an easy journey, it's an important one. And storytellers really help shape the world we live in. So like, if you feel that, you've got to just be brave and follow it, hey?
I love that. It's true. It's an honor to be able to work in such a fashion that, like, you're helping other people go through things. You're helping them work through their own emotions. You're making them laugh. You're making them cry. It's like you're imparting so much onto other people without even having to be right in front of them.
Oh, absolutely. And you're expressing different worldviews and experiences of life and history, and like it's so rich. It's the coolest job ever when you get to do it.
This is very true. So how did you make your way into the professional world of acting in New Zealand? What was that like for you?
I decided when I was in my last year of high school that I wanted to go to drama school. So I moved out of my family home at the age of 17 and relocated myself up to Auckland, which is sort of one of our main cities in New Zealand, and studied here for 3 years at drama school. And then began, like I got my first agent at drama school, and then just began auditioning and have just built up my body of work over the past few years, which I've been really lucky to do.
What was like that first set experience like for you? I mean, for someone who so badly wanted to experience it, what was it like?
It was incredible. I managed to hustle my way into my first job. It was my last year of drama school, and one of the tutors, one of the directing tutors who worked with like the film students, she was creating a film that had been financed by the New Zealand Film Commission. So it was quite a big deal. I knew she was making it. And she had directed me in a project early in the year. And I just, I don't know where I had this crazy confidence. And I would just see her every day and I'd be like, hey, have you got a role for me in your film yet? And she was like, not today, not yet, Anna Marie. And I asked her for literally like months. Every time I saw her, I'd just be like, hey, do you have a role for me in your film? It was very cheeky. I probably wouldn't do that these days. Until eventually one day she was like, actually, yeah, I do. And somehow they had this character that was on the cutting board and they decided, actually, we, you know, we'll give her a shot and play it. She obviously really wants to be part of this. And so I got to go to set for the first time and learn all of the behind the scenes, which was just such a new world. It was awesome. Like, it was, I very quickly realized I want to be on set every single day, all the time, in a creative role. I've done a bit of crew work and it doesn't quite have the same appeal, but if I'm acting, I want to be there all the time. I'm obsessed.
I mean, that's good because they always say, right? Like, if you're not obsessed with it, just stop because there's no point.
Oh, yeah, there's so many other jobs in the world that are like really good jobs that probably pay better. So.
Well, tell me a little bit about the show, The Sounds, that you were on. You did quite a large arc on that. So what was that like for you to be able to bring this character to life for so many episodes?
It was awesome. She was a really distinctive character. She had quite a dramatic arc and a really sad sort of backstory. And I worked with an acting coach on that to sort of just to flesh her out. I really like to talk with other creatives to make the process less lonely. I don't like working on my own. I find it really like you just get stuck in my head and not have a clear sense of direction sometimes. So I worked with a coach on that one to just like really build her before I went into filming. And one of the sort of tools we had was every time I put her shoes on, I was like focused and present and in and dropped into her. And then every time I take her shoes off, whether it's like after a scene or at the end of the day, then like, okay, I'm going to leave all of that there, all of her characteristics and her energy that's going to stay there with the shoes. So that was a really good way in and out of that character for me because she held so much pain that she was constantly hiding. And it was really hard work to constantly hold tension. And she like always rigid. I'd always have my fists tense and every muscle in my body just absolutely tense to the maximum and just disguising. And she was a lot of energy. And you know, that's all in stillness as well. So it was so focused, that work. But I loved it. Like, I love that. I love going deep. That's just my favorite.
That's like the nitty gritty. That's the stuff where you just like want to eat it up, right? It's like, how badly can I torture myself for this role? But it's amazing and it feels so good. It's so masochistic, but it's true.
I know. And I don't know what it is because I've always been really drawn to those roles. There's just something extremely, I don't know. It's deep, right? And we're exploring things that I guess you don't really talk about every day in conversation. Yeah. But we get the opportunity to just go there, and it feels good to really experience.
I love the idea of leaving her with the shoes, right? Because there's always this struggle as an actor of not bringing it home, not letting it affect your actual life, your persona, your person. Like, it's hard to leave it there. So that is such a great tip. It's so useful.
And it is also like, I think, you know, sometimes as an actor you have a certain responsibility on set to be a leader, to show up in a good way for people. And it's nice to go, oh, I'm stepping into these shoes now where I have to show up like in this certain way. And that's really important to distinguish, I think.
Yeah. Do you have any other things that you like to do when you're on set, or also how do you break down a script when you get the audition? Like, what's your process for that?
It depends, because I feel like as I grow as a person, my process constantly evolves, and some things I used to do in the past just don't work for me now. So it depends. Like, I'm constantly just trying to stay inspired and try new things, and learn new techniques. And it's very individual for each character for me. A lot of it just depends on what they're going through and what they've been through, and what how they sort of view the world. And I'll go get inspired from there and go deeper. So I can't say I've got a process, and I to be honest, I don't think I ever will. The more I learn, the more I apply, and yeah, I love that process of just like starting afresh each time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, it's each actor finds their own way of being able to get through a character and get through a script and try to break it down the best I can and you can. And it's just, it's always so interesting to hear everyone's different, like, little methods. Like, there's so many people who write everything down. I like to write things down so that it's like off the page and in a journal. Like, it's just, there's so many different ways to do things. And it's, I mean, that's what makes this so fun, right? Is like everyone brings their own
thing. And there's no right or wrong.
Right.
There really isn't. There's just the truth. So whatever works to help you get to the truth, that's perfect. For me, I know, like, I don't really like the text analysis. Like, it doesn't, it just, I get bored. It doesn't inspire me creatively. And it's like, all my trauma from drama school, it's like, oh, reminds me of that. So I'm like, I much prefer getting things up and moving. And I get so much from rehearsals and from the other actor. That's when I really start to find my flow.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
And back to the show. And it brings me to another point, which, you know, we've been living in this world of self-tapes over here in LA. I know that Mirabai was on a couple weeks ago and she mentioned that you guys have had in-person auditions. For you, I mean, do you find that the in-person audition is better for you creatively than the self-tape?
I 100% do like better in the room than I do on tape. It's always, I feel like in the room, the stakes are so much higher and there's a lot more adrenaline and there's so much more. And you get an actual one-on-one with the casting director so they can get to see who you are as a person, and as opposed to sort of it all being on tape where it doesn't quite translate as well. I like the freedom that tapes give you to do as many takes as you like and to explore. But there's something about only having that one shot or potentially two shots to get it, and the pressure that actually seems to make me perform so much better.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. It's like when I'm in the room, it's the energy, right? It makes you want to be the best you can, because you're like, I got this one chance. I have all this energy inside of me, and you're so alive. Yeah. And I'm such a people person. Like, I want to talk to people.
Yeah.
And so, and not being able to like show my personality on a tape, I'm like,
It feels kind of constricting. And I know there's a lot of conversations happening around that of actors being like, oh, I'm frustrated. But it is kind of the reality of the world we live in now, post-pandemic. Yeah. And it's like, how do we find that fire in the room that we get? Or that at least me and you get, maybe not everyone feels that way, but how do we then apply that to taping?
Right. Yeah. It's a difficult little line that we've all had to toe recently. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I know a lot of people in the States are saying that it's going to stay self-tape land for a while.
Yeah, like, I've heard that as well.
I don't want to.
Yeah, we were in such a golden age of making film and TV and auditioning. Like, we didn't know it at the time, but that's kind of a thing of the past now.
I know, it's kind of upsetting. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me a little bit. You're in the new Evil Dead Rise movie, which I'm so excited about. Tell me what that experience was like for you joining such a huge franchise.
Oh, epic. Such a dream come true. Like, Evil Dead has filmed here in New Zealand, so it's got a lot of roots here, and it's definitely been something that's talked about. Like, I've always known what it is in my entire time in this industry, because it's sort of made a home here. And so a lot of the crew worked on all of the sort of previous films. They worked on Ash, Evil Dead, the TV show. So they've got a lot of ties. They know this world very, very well. So joining that was so cool. One of my first ever auditions was for Ash versus Evil Dead.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like I prepped it so hard. I got it. It was just for like this minor character, American accent. And I was like practicing my American accent in my car every single day to these like recordings, and was prepping. And then the day before the audition, I got a call being like, oh, they've cut that character, so you don't need to audition anymore. Yeah, and I was like, oh, what? Okay, cool, that's all good. But then, you know, a few years later, to then come on to this project, it was like, awesome, cool. It was one of those full circle moments.
And, I mean, is this your first time being in like, a true horror movie? The first time you've actually – okay, so what did you think? What do you think about the genre? I love horror, so –
Yes, I'm not a horror gal, and you know, like I think you're great for loving it. Like, you're so brave. Wow, I wish I could. I just can't. I'm a real scaredy cat. It really unsettles me, especially paranormal things.
Yeah,
I just can't do it. So I was a little nervous coming on to this, because I was kind of scared about being really spooked and being a little bit traumatized by it. But it's that making a horror is very different to watching it, and it's extremely technical and messy, and there's so much rehearsal and prep that goes into it. And so when I, you know, the experience of making this film versus then watching the trailer, I was like, oh my God, that's terrifying. I didn't realize this film was so scary. Because at the time making it was just like a lot of fun. So completely different experiences.
And you guys got to film on a lake and enjoy this beautiful outlook. I mean, it was like filming a rom-com minus the blood.
Minus all the blood, it'd be like extremely cold and drenched and dripping wet. You know what's so funny is like we got so used to being, so my character has some prosthetics she wears, and at some points in the film it looks pretty terrible. But we just got used to looking like that all the time. And like you'd walk around the set and like someone had like their gut spilling out and someone had like their head split open and they're just like talking to the crew normally. And the first time I got on set and I saw that, I was like, what is this place? I was like, it was the strangest thing I've ever seen. And then by the end of it, it was so normal to me to look like that. That I forgot until I saw photos of myself talking to the crew. And I was like, oh my gosh, you look like shit.
You look like you've been through hell.
Literally. And I remember there was this gorgeous stuntman who I like. I was like, oh, he's so cute. And then now I look back, I'm like, oh, you should not.
Oh, no.
No, that was never going to happen.
Oh my God. Unless he's listening to this right now. What's up?
Yeah, I know. I hope he's not listening because that's really embarrassing. I don't think he is.
I'm dying. Oh my God. Well, that's so exciting. Is there do you have hopes to be in more horror films now that you've seen how, you know, it's so much different on set?
Yeah, it's a very fun genre to film. Absolutely. I would love to. Particularly with the amount of stunt work that there was. Like, it was the first time I'd done any work on wire. I'd love to do more of that. Oh, so cool.
It's so fun. It's like, yes, throw me in the air. I'm so happy. Yeah.
You get to fly. I mean, incredible.
Well, on this show, we like to share audition stories. Now, that can be the one that got away. It can be something embarrassing, something funny or sad. Is there a story that you'd like to share with our listeners?
So I have been thinking about this because there are like definitely stories of heartbreak. Like I think my biggest heartbreaks in life have probably come from auditions, which was a very tough lesson to learn early on. But I was thinking I think my most recent audition story is the one I want to share with you.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And it's an inspiring, it's a happy one.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So yeah, just to change the tune. So this is a bit of a journey. I had been auditioning sort of like last year, getting really, really close to things is like quite common. Probably you've experienced a lot yourself. You get down to like the final two and then for whatever reason, a few weeks out from the shoot, they'll make their decision and it won't be you and they'll let you go. And then, you know, you're going to have 3 months of work and suddenly there's no work and you're like, what am I going to do? And I had quite a few experiences like that where I got really close and excited and quite invested in my characters and then it didn't go my way for whatever reason and then had to really quickly be like, okay, what am I going to do for this period of time? And it was really starting to wear me down, like to the point where I was thinking about, I actually don't know if acting's for me anymore. It was like severely affecting my mental health and the way I viewed myself and like my identity, because it was pretty like wrapped up in whether I was acting or not. And I was like, hey, I actually think I'm more than this and I really want to be happy and stable. And so it happened on the most sort of recent time it happened, which was a few months ago. I called my mum and I was like, mum, I can't do this anymore. I can't live with this unhappiness and this relying on acting, you know, for my work and for to make me feel good. It's like it's too stressful. And so she's like, I think, Anna Marie, it's time to like to let it go for a while and not necessarily give up, but just to let go of the hold it had on me. And it really kind of stuck with me what she said. And I was like, yeah, actually, I think I really deserve some stability for a while. And I got my first ever full-time job.
Hey.
Yeah, so like I went, I also work as a personal trainer. And so I was like, actually, you know, I'm gonna start focusing on that for a bit. So day one of my full-time job, I get a call from my agent. Hey, congratulations, you've booked this TV show that you were released from. couple of months ago, the one that made me decide I wanted a full-time job, I booked a role on it in like a different character. Literally day one of my full-time job. I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. And the next day I get a call from another one of my agents. Hey, congratulations, you've booked the feature film that you auditioned for. And I was like, oh my God. So suddenly it's so interesting, like releasing the hold acting head on me and almost the desperation in a way of needing to work to survive. I'd lost my joy in it. And as soon as I was able to let that go and not need it anymore or rely on it and find the fun in it again, like I've never been busier as an actor.
I mean, okay, one, that's amazing. Yeah. And it just, you know, it's true though. It's like, you know, when you're so desperate for something, it's like it gets further and further and further mm-hmm. away. Mm-hmm. And the second you're just like, okay, I trust that whatever is going to happen is going to happen. All mm-hmm. of a sudden the opportunities open, the doors open, and the world is like, okay, yeah, you're ready now.
Yeah. And you know, like finding the joy in it again and finding freedom in it and just going into an audition and being like, today I get to act and, you know, this is so temporary and I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but this is just the right now and it's all I've got. So I'm just going to have fun and know that, you know, I get my finances from somewhere else and my happiness from somewhere else. And this doesn't define who I am.
Oh, I love that. My gosh, so inspirational.
Yeah. So that's my inspirational story that I'd love to share with everyone, because like if you're feeling unhappy, it's a sign that something's not working. Listen to it.
Listen to it. Find a way to fix all of it so that it all fits together.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to, you know, there's so few actors that solely survive on acting. I mean, it's kind of a pipe dream at this point. Like, it's so few. You have to be able to find your joy in that and also, you know, find a way to provide for yourself.
And find who you are as a person.
Yes, outside of it. Outside of the industry, outside of everything else.
Because it's not, like, it doesn't define you. It's not who you are. Your life is your life and your life alone. Like, this thing doesn't dictate who you get to be.
So true. So true. Well, I have one last question for you, and it's just because, you know, you've talked so much about how much you love set and filmmaking. Have you ever thought maybe one day I'm going to produce as well as act or direct or write?
I'm definitely a writer. I've always loved writing and I'm really drawn to it, and I'm sort of writing my first screenplay at the moment, which is awesome, and I'm loving that process. It taught me heaps about acting as well, giving me a different perspective on it. And I just worked with a really wonderful director, producer, writer on a film, and she hugely inspired me to sort of like take the reins and to learn producing and eventually one day direct. It's awesome seeing so many females coming through into that world and finding that power. So absolutely, I'm keen to do everything that I can.
I love that, and we all look forward to it. Where can people follow you on social media so they can keep up with your amazing journey?
I'm on Instagram. My full name, Anna Marie Thomas, which is Marie with two E's, not an I-E. No one ever gets my name right, so if you can find me, good luck and well done.
I get it. I get, because my name's Claire, Jillian Claire, and so I get A-I-R-E all the time, and mine doesn't have an I either. It's, you know, the No I sisters. High five.
Yes, nice. The Titanic No I sisters.
The Titanic No I sisters. Well, I've had such a great time talking to you. It's been so lovely, and come visit us in the sunny state.
Absolutely. I will be there. If you can pick me up from the airport, I'd love that.
I'll be there. I'll meet you at LAX.
Amazing. See you there soon.
Thanks again to Anna Marie for coming on the show. Make sure to check out Evil Dead Rise. Tune in next week for a brand new episode. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey! Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.